Thank you, Umberto. Thank you for this beautiful meeting space. It's nice to see a window. I started this morning out in the basement of the convention center, so the window's nice. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, actually, Gerald Post. My name is Demi Glass. We both work with the Resource Stewardship Division of the Nova Scotia Department of Agriculture. And listening to all the presentations has been great. This presentation is completely different from the previous eight because it's not a research presentation. It's actually based upon a background document that Gerald and I wrote together on the potential for agri-based biomass for Nova Scotia. And it's going to conclude with a pilot project that we're going to initiate within the province. So just to give a bit of perspective as far as where we are in relation to here, and this was a random assignment of the star there. Here we are in California, and this is Nova Scotia. So we're on the east coast of Canada, one of the four Atlantic provinces. And this is New Brunswick here and PEI here. I also wanted to give a little bit of background as far as our agricultural industry in Nova Scotia. We have just shy of 3,800 farms. Our average farm size is about 110 hectares. We have cash farm receipts in excess of $474 million, and to put it into perspective even more, about 70% of our farms reported cash receipts less than $50,000. We have more than 100 processors and 80 agribusinesses, and almost 4,000 people are employed within the agri-based sector. $600 million from agri-processing, and it's about $1 billion is what we figure our industry is worth in Nova Scotia. So to put it in a nutshell, we have small, diverse farms, so that gives you kind of an idea of our egg industry in Nova Scotia. Glad to have two microphones here. we have a 10-year strategy within the egg sector in Nova Scotia that our deputy minister and minister are promoting and we're embracing, and it's all based upon our homegrown success. And we're looking at utilizing our natural assets of the province to really ensure that we create a sustainable and viable ag sector. Now, when we looked at bioenergy crops and byproducts, it came down to one really easy conclusion. Almost all of our farmland is ideally suited for growing grass. So that was going to be the first focus as far as what we were looking at within Nova Scotia. So agribiomass, it's an appealing energy source. We've seen advancements in production and conversion, and I'll get back to some of the conversion a little later in the presentation. It has a cyclic nature of carbon dioxide, so it's produced and consumed in development, and the underutilized land availability. In Nova Scotia, this is really key, actually, because we have a shrinking population, and we also have a lot of rural areas where people have been moving out. And a lot of the farms, as I mentioned before, 70% have made less than $50,000 a year, so there's limited product profitability within the food sector part of it. So going back to the underutilized land, right now we have about 1 million hectares of land suitable for agriculture. 215,000 of that are currently cleared, and without impeding any of the food development, 40,000 hectares of that could be available for production as far as grass-based biomass. Further to the underutilized land availability, within this triangle sector here, and I'm going to highlight from Truro to Halifax to Kentville, so this triangle here, about 3/4 of our population are expected to live within that triangle within the next 20 years. So you've got about, we have 18 counties, so you've got 15 counties beyond that that will have the remaining 25% of our population. An ideal energy crop characteristic, this is old hat to I'm sure everybody in the room, you want high yield, low energy input to produce, low cost, low nutrient requirements, and a composition with least contaminants. So you want it to be pest resistant and things like that. You really want to limit what you're putting into it. This is fundamental to whatever you're going to be starting with this. What we know is we can grow grass, we can tweak the production afterwards. The problem that we're having right now, or the issue, the biggest stumbling block, is trying to develop that industry. And the development of the industry in Nova Scotia right now, there's a number of groups that are interested in, say, creating a factory or a production plant and starting to produce the pellets. we don't have the market development right now, and that's kind of our biggest stumbling block. We've identified that, you know, if you get some anchor tenants and you can really build it and go into the residential afterwards. There's been regional biomass working groups, and that's with New Brunswick and PEI as well, and all three provinces have identified that, you know, the mid to small scale industrial is where you really want to focus, and you can look at your residential use afterwards as kind of an add-on. The substantial capital investment is really what's impeding a lot of these groups. You're looking at $1 million to $1.5 million as far as building the plant. What we're also talking about, too, is not just selling the product, but integrating themselves within that value chain so that they're selling the concept of heat. So they would have furnaces available for lease. They would also go and retrieve the ash, and that could be reapplied to the land afterwards. So it's a closed-loop system is what they're really trying to do. excuse me, within Nova Scotia, as far as incentives, we have no current policy in place that either encourages or discourages going down this route. And this is really the basis of the original document that I talked about as far as why we started writing this. Growing Forward is a federal, provincial, territorial framework that has money in place to can help farmers with best management practices and things like that. There is an energy conservation pilot aspect of it, but there's nothing that really can kind of jumpstart anybody into it. The other thing that we've started to do as well is look beyond what's just within our own province and see what the federal government has as far as their level of funding. So we've put in applications to try and get a pellet factory built and try and look at it that way. Barriers to development. right now in Nova Scotia, there's a huge emphasis on renewable electricity. And that really came about because of a piece of legislation that went in 2007. And it's kind of the acronym for it is EGSPA, Environmental Goals and Sustainable Prosperity Act. And within that act, 21 targets were identified as far as Nova Scotia kind of meeting. It could be about biodiversity, water quality, air quality, renewable energy sources. And the first step of that was the renewable electricity. But what we've been doing kind of in the background, too, is really trying to plant the seed as far as the potential for this agri-based biomass industry. And we're starting to see some merit in that. Just recently before I came down here, actually, Department of Transportation was interested to know what furnaces are available for fuel sources so that they could start to look at some of the college campuses, community college campuses, to put in place. Another barrier to development is that agribiomass is a diffuse resource, so it could cover large areas. There could be issues with collection and transport. I know that we're talking about that 50-kilometer radius. Within Nova Scotia, I don't really think that will be as big of an issue. Lack of a robust supply chain. Once again, that comes back to your marketing, and a lot of the groups are really being promoted to integrate themselves within that value chain. Economic and technological barriers. Within economic, you could have the competition with food, and then also it could be the wood-based fuels. And the technological, that's more of the burn technologies. One of the things that we've been working on quite a bit in the last year is I think he's about 75 years old, an older gentleman in one of the counties, who's created a furnace that can easily burn grass pellets. And what it does is that it originated as a, I think it was a propane tank, actually, and he cut into it, and he created kind of this spindle-type thing that agitated it completely. And what that did was limit the formation of the clinkers so you didn't have the smoldering effect. Education and awareness, and that's something that I think with a lot of new ideas and kind of shifts, it's the ignorance of the potential of that product and where we can go with it. So the implications for government. This is when we have to take a step back and look at, okay, what is it we should be doing as a department or as a provincial government to make sure that this moves forward as it should. We need to be the catalyst. We need to be that kind of single effective voice to really promote and show the merit of what could be the potential within the province. Not in the long term, but we really need to do that at the onset to get people on board with it. Our government, too, really has, with the Environmental Goals and Sustainable Prosperity Act, has really embraced sustainable development. And what we need to do with the agri-based biomass industry is really promote how it can help to achieve that sustainable development. And the three easiest answers with that are creation of energy biomass opportunities, your environmental stewardship, and the benefit of the greater good. So you've got that social, economic, and environmental, those three tiers coming together. This last slide actually is, I'm going to identify a gentleman in the audience, Jonathan McClellan, if you want to raise your hand. He's one of the, I'm going to call you a producer right now, one of the producers we've been working with quite a bit down in Annapolis County that is highlighted here on this slide. Jonathan is the manager for West Nova Agri Commodities. It's a locally owned grain elevator. And this group has been really beneficial and really integrated within promoting the biomass sector. And what we've been able to do is come up with some money through the Energy Conservation Pilot Program, which was that Growing Forward, that federal, provincial, territorial money, to purchase a furnace that's going to be put on a transported trailer. And it's going to go to three different sites over the next year. And what that's able to do is we're able to get third-party assessment of how easy it is to use. So we've got somebody coming in that will be collecting the data and whatnot. But at each of these locations, one will be a conference center, one's a municipal building, and the other actually is where Jonathan works at the grain elevator. And we're able to get some efficiency, ease of operation, maintenance, and cost. That information can then be promoted across the rest of the province to help other people see, you know, how easy it can be or, you know, what needs to be tweaked and things like that. So that's supposed to be starting in the next, I believe, month. it's an exciting project, and also on this map, I should identify, this is Annapolis County, Kings County, Hants, Cumberland, Colchester, and Guysborough. There's about six counties that are really interested in getting this moving and starting to go down that route. So, and that is the conclusion. Is there any questions? It's so different from the research one.